Welcome to Word Mission Church International Podcast. Now the Word with Paul Mensah Wood.
The joy of it all is testimonies of someone of being saved, being healed, being provided for. That is the driving force. That is what drives me. So no matter the late nights and the hours, it doesn't matter. I count it all joy. I press towards the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And thank you for the, we have the most, some of the most wonderful and faithful people in this place. No matter how the going gets tough, they keep climbing, praying, supporting, and giving of their time and everything. And from the bottom of our hearts as well, we say thank you for being a part of this. Someone will say, what's next? Oh, this verse comes to me. Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 36. Thank you, Lord. He says, from Ariel, which is by the brink of the river Arnon, and from the city that is by the river, even unto Gilead, there was not one city too strong for us. The Lord our God delivered all unto us. This was when Joshua was leading the people, when they kept going and going. No city was too strong for the people of God. And so for me, for my heart, this city is not too strong for the church to take it over. It's not too strong for God to deliver into our hands. No. That's my attitude. So till everybody in this city has heard the gospel, we will not stop. That is our heart. Everybody has a right to hear the gospel. And for those who are believers as well, we want everyone to grow up and to partake of the inheritance that Jesus Christ has purchased for them. So that's our heart. That's our heart. We'll keep going. We'll keep pressing. No city is too strong for God and his people. No city is too strong for God. And then we want to look into other areas as well that we can reach out through the media, and then we're also thinking about not local missions, but foreign missions as well. There's other nations out there. Somebody said no one has the right to hear the gospel twice when somebody hasn't heard it once. So at some point we'll get into it as well. And then as we keep growing, we'll have to look at capacity as well. But all that to say that our best days are ahead of us. What God has done, there are greater things that he has planned for us. And thank God we get to be a part of it. Let's give God another praise and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. He is faithful. Okay, so let's get into our Bible lesson today. Thank you, Lord. All this month we have been studying on faith. And the first lesson, and it's good that we had five Sundays in October. It's very good because, like I said, we can study on faith to do it and to get the meat of it. And even then, when we're exhausted, we'll have to come to church for 8 weeks, do morning service, afternoon, and evening, or maybe two services a day. And even then, we won't exhaust it. But we're endeavoring to do our best and for God to reveal to us what he has in his word. So the first lesson, we look at how faith comes. If you know how faith comes and you know how to put it into circulation, you've gone very far. There are three things, like I said, that you need to know about faith: how it comes, and then once you know how it comes, how you release it, how you put it into action. So that's so important. That's so important to know what it is, how it comes, and how to put it into action. So then the next lesson we looked at how we release our faith, or what faith is, the God kind of faith. Once you discover it, it will change your world. God who calls those things that be not as though they were. Once you begin to function like God in that area, sooner or later you begin to experience all that he has for you. And then last week we continued as well how to release our faith. And so this morning, as we think about God's faithfulness and about what God has done, you see, one of the things is, Amos chapter 3, verse 3 says that, how can two walk together except they be agreed? To walk with God, you have to know how he functions, agree with him, and work with him. And in our walk with God, I mean, in our walk of faith, there are trials of faith. There are things that we go through when we endeavor to walk by faith. So until this morning, we want to discover some of the challenges that we face as we endeavor to walk by faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. But we want to look at some of the challenges that we face as Christians. Because the truth of the matter is, when we believe God, there are some areas where we believe God and it happens instantly. Like, for instance, healing. You can receive it instantly. There are some areas as well that it takes a process. It takes time for them to come to pass. So, but one of the things as we go on and grow as a church is, what are some of the things that challenges our faith? What are some of the things that will endeavor to hold us back? And things that we must be aware of that will try to stop our faith. Let's turn to Matthew. Well, the first point is offenses. Matthew chapter 11, verse 6. You see, when you start walking by faith and for some reason or the other, you don't see the result right away, there is a tendency for you to be offended at God. But notice what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, verse 6. And he says, "And blessed is the one who is not offended by me." Blessed is the one who is not offended by me. You see, and I mean, it's easy to get to that place where sometimes you get offended at God. You don't understand what's going on. So the Greek word for offense is skandalon. I'm not a Greek scholar, but I know the God of the Bible. But the Greek word for that is skandalon. And it's something that can come in your way, be placed in your way, and to cause a stumbling block, or an occasion of falling, something that can trip you up. So Jesus is saying that blessed is the one who is not offended in me, who is not offended, because when you get offended at God, that is when your faith becomes impotent and doesn't work. When Jesus was getting ready to die, he told his disciples in Matthew 26, 31, he says, all of you will be offended in me and leave. Peter, in his typical fashion, said, "Everybody will go, but I will go with you all the way to the very end." You see, there's a tendency when the going gets tough, when the going gets difficult, to some people just leave God. They just get offended at God and just leave it all, leave God. But he's saying that, I mean, we have to get to the point. Blessed is the one who is not offended in me. All his disciples, Matthew 26, 56, they got offended and departed. But as we go on, we must get to the point where we are strong. Matthew 11 also says that blessed is the one who is not offended in me. That's what we just read. It takes a special kind of faith to continue walking with God when it seems that the results that you are looking for doesn't manifest right away. Nothing seems to be going on, but it takes a special kind of faith. You see, the goal of the enemy is to cause you to be offended and to speak words against the Most High. Notice what he says in Daniel chapter 7, verse 25. Daniel chapter 7, verse 25. Thank you, Lord. He says, "He shall speak words against the Most High and shall think to change the times and laws." Notice the phrase, "speak words against the Most High and to wear out the saints." Wear out the saints. Faith, I mean, it takes a lot of strength to walk by faith. But the goal of the enemy is to wear you out, to where now you are offended at God. If God would have done it, he would have done it by now. Wear you out and cause you to speak words against the Most High. But oh, this morning, I know that that will not be your portion. You will stick with God no matter the circumstances of life. If that's you, say a big amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So get to that point where you refuse to give up. You refuse to be offended at God. Have that stamina. When you give up, you give up your blessing. Notice the blessing are for those who endure to the end. Those who endure to the end. Mark chapter 13, verse 13. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. It says, "And you'll be hated by all for my name's sake, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. The one who endures to the end will be saved. You see, the result of faith always speaks at the end. It always speaks at the end. You holding on to God, when you endure to the end, you will see the salvation of the Lord. He repeats it again in Matthew 10:22 and Matthew 24:13. He that endures to the end will be saved. Will be saved, will be saved, will be saved. Keep that in your mind. And then notice what he says also in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1 to 3. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The result of faith always speaks at the end. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1 to 3. Thank you, Lord. He says, I will take my stand at my watch post and station myself on the tower and look out to see what he will say to me and what I will answer concerning my complaint. And the Lord answered me, write the vision, make it plain on tablets, so he may run who reads it. For still the vision awaits its appointed time. It hastens to the end. It will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. It will surely come. It will not delay. Wait for it. Because the vision is set for an appointed time. It's set for an appointed time. At the end, it will speak. It will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come. Not maybe. I love God. No, it will surely come. So don't give up. Don't be offended at God. You see, notice the phrase that he says, that it is set for an appointed time, and at the end, it shall speak. It shall speak. It shall speak. It shall speak. You see, no man is born a full-grown person. If someone delivered a baby and the baby was 5 feet tall, we'll all know that something is wrong. But first there is conception, there's gestation, and then there is delivery. We conceive. The vision, God gives us dreams and vision. We conceive it, and then at the appointed time, it is delivered. At the appointed time, it is delivered. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So the baby will grow to be a toddler, and I say humorously, a fortler. And then they get into adolescent, and then into a full-grown person. The vision is set for an appointed time. All the faith of scriptures speak at the end. If it tarries, wait for it. It will surely come to pass. If you believe that, say amen this morning. Amen. Glory be to the name of the Lord. And then as we go on, walk as well, one of the areas where we run into difficulty is when the blessings of God begin to come. When we have, exercise faith and we begin to see the blessing of God in our lives, sometimes in some areas, they can cause us to draw back. Notice what happened to this, the thing that happened to these people in Luke chapter 14, verse 18. Don't let the blessings of God hold you back. But even as you exercise and walk by faith and begin to see God's hand in your life, continue on. Luke chapter 14 and verse 18. Thank you, Lord. He says, verse 16 says, but he said to everyone, a man once gave a great banquet and invited many. And at a time for the banquet, he sent his servant to say to those who had been invited, come, for everything is now ready. But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, I have bought a field, and I must go out and see it. Please have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to examine them. Please have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. There was a banquet that was made. An invitation was made out to the people, and they started giving excuses. Listen to the excuses that they gave. The first one says, I've bought a field, and I must go out and see it. That's like me buying a house today and not seeing it. You bought land without seeing it. That's not good enough. Then the one said, I've bought 5 oxen. I have to go and examine them. King James says, I have to go and prove them. So again, you've bought oxen without proving them. And in my opinion, the third one is the worst one. You are newly married. And so, if there is a dinner, that's a good opportunity to take your new spouse. So these people have experienced certain things in their life, and now God is inviting them to a feast, to a supper, and they have all the reasons why they cannot come. They cannot do it. Now we are too busy for you, oh God. This job that you blessed me with, or this thing that you gave me, this person, I'm too busy for you, God. That can hinder our faith life. We have to be cautious of that as we go on. Notice what happened to this person in 2 Chronicles chapter 26, verse 15. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to the name of the Lord. 2 Chronicles 26, 15. We are looking at some of the things that can hinder us in our faith walk. 26 and 15. This is one of the very good kings of Israel. He missed it at the end. He says, in Jerusalem, he made machines invented by skillful men to be on the towers and the corners to shoot arrows and great stones. And his fame spread far, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. But when he was strong, he grew proud to his destruction. Notice, for he was unfaithful to the Lord his God and entered the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. God helped him to become strong. God helped him, 2 Chronicles 26, 15. God helped him to become strong. But when he became strong, it got into his head, to his own destruction. And now instead of staying faithful, he says, for he was unfaithful to the Lord his God. And he wanted to get into an area that wasn't part of his function. He was lifted up to his own destruction. So as God begins, I mean, who made him strong? God. God is the one that made him strong. God is the one that gave him all that he had. But when he became strong, that was his own downfall. May we be cautious of that. That will not be our testimony in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Kings chapter 11, as well, we see Solomon. When he became strong, the women turned away his heart from God. 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 1. Now King Solomon loved many foreign women, along with the daughter of Pharaoh, Moabite, Ammonite, Edomite, Sidonians, and Hittite women, from the nations concerning which the Lord has said to the people of Israel, you shall not enter into marriage with them, neither shall they with you, for they surely will turn away your heart after their God. Solomon clung to these in love. He had 700 wives who were princes and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. For when Solomon was old, his wife turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not wholly true. Notice again, wholly true to the Lord his God, as was the heart of his father. God blessed him, but when he got to that point, the blessing of God, what God had blessed him with, he drifted off. Again, that will not be your testimony in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. You will stay committed to God as he blesses you. As we keep growing as a body, we will stay committed to God. Number 3, time and waiting on God will test your commitment to God. It will test your faith. It will test your faith. Because the key here is, there is time. In Genesis 8:22, God talks about the fact that so long as the earth remains, and the earth remains, where are we? We are still on earth, aren't we? There is seed time and harvest time, cold and winter. All these seasons will keep going on. But the key here is there is seed and time and harvest. So when we have released our faith, when we keep trusting in God, time is involved. And the waiting time is crucial for every Christian. You see, and no matter how much full of faith no matter how much faith you have, when a woman gets pregnant, You cannot use your faith to deliver a fully developed baby within a month. It has to go through that process. And so when God has given us his promise, when God has given us his word, when we release our faith, when we endeavor to believe God, we must trust him, trust God, and depend on he doing it and doing it well in his own time. You see, from that first time that David was anointed by Samuel, the first time he was anointed by Samuel in Judah, in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 13, he didn't ascend the throne, or he was a very young person then. He didn't ascend the throne till when he was 30 years. All that time, God was testing David. He had several opportunities to take matters into his own hands and to even kill Saul along the way. But, through it all, He was faithful to God. Then the next time he was anointed over all of Judah in 2 Samuel chapter 2 verse 4 by the elders of Judah. He was anointed. So he was anointed three times. And then the third time he was anointed by the elders of Israel, by the men of Israel in 1 Samuel chapter 5 verse 3. So think about it. He has a promise that he will be the king of Israel. But he had to go through that process of time. During that time, a lot of rebellion took place. Absalom couldn't wait. When he came back to Jerusalem, he couldn't wait for him to be appointed king, and he tried to stage himself as king. He ended up hanging himself. He died a terrible death. You see, time is so important and so crucial for us in that walk of faith. It's so important. Thank you, Lord Jesus. If God gives us a promise, can we wait for his own perfect time for the promise to be fulfilled? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You see, whether you receive a dream or a vision or a prophetic word or whatever it is going to be fulfilled in God's own time, not your time. It's so important. And sometimes we don't understand what may be going on. But God knows he makes all things beautiful in his time. All things beautiful in his time, not our time. All things beautiful in his time. Then number four, thank you, Lord Jesus. Number four area that will test our commitment to God as we grow and as we keep going on is affliction. You see, the fact that we are Christians doesn't mean that we are exempted. And the word affliction there means distress, hardship, adversity, trial, troubles, attacks from the enemy, misunderstanding, wrong perception, all these things. But notice what the psalmist says in Psalm chapter 34, verse 19. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I'm enjoying this morning. I don't know about you. Thank you, Lord. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of some of them. Oh, I was checking to see if you are paying attention this morning. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, or the tests of the righteous, the trials of the righteous, but the good news is you and I serve a living God, and the Lord will deliver us out of them all. If you believe that, say amen this morning. Oh, no matter the test or the trial or the affliction that you may be going through this morning, I speak to you by the word of God that he will deliver you out of them all. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Oh, the Apostle Paul got to the point, he called them light afflictions. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's look at that. Let's look at that in the life of Jacob. In the life of Jacob. Thank you, Lord. In Genesis chapter 28, his life is very unique. Genesis chapter 28, verse 15. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Genesis 28 and verse 15. You see, when he got to the lowest point in his life, God gave him certain words and God gave him certain prophecies. Notice what he said to him. This was when he left his father's house and he was on his way to go and see Laban. Notice God said to him, "Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you." God told him, number one, I am with you. Number two, I will keep you wherever you go. I will bring you again to this land. And I will not leave you. Notice, until I have done what I have promised you. This morning, God is saying to you by his word that he is with you. He will never leave you. He will keep you. And he will never leave you until he has done unto you whatever he has promised you in his word. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Notice Jacob's response. Jacob said, verse 20, "Then Jacob made a vow saying, if God will be with me, and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and clothing to wear, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God." Thank you, Lord. Jacob said, if you will be with me, number one, if you will keep me in the way to go, give me bread to eat, clothing on my body, bring me back to my father's house, then you will be my God. That's the question. Who is your God? When he, this is, he's, think about it. He's sleeping on stones. He's using stones for a pillow. He's at the lowest point in his life. And the interesting thing is, that's another thing too. When God promises us, sometimes we try to help God. God is, in our minds, we think God is not up to it, so we'll help him here. Rebecca tried to help Jacob along the way. Think about it. Jacob never saw Rebecca again. When he came back after all his journeys, Rebecca was gone. You see, no, don't try to help God. What did he say? "What I have spoken to you, I will not leave you till I see to it that he's fulfilled. I fulfill." When God speaks, he's able to fulfill. When God declares, he himself has the ability and the power to fulfill. Thank you, Lord. But so he went to Padan Aram. He was there for 20 years. And at the end of the 20 years, God appeared to him and said, go back to your land. In Genesis chapter 31, verse 3, let's read it. This is a very interesting story. We'll get some nuggets here. God appeared to him. Then the Lord said to Jacob, "Return to the land of our fathers and to your kindred, and I will be with you." Genesis 31, 3. And verse 13, "I'm the God of Bethel, where you anointed a pillar and made a vow to me. Now arise, go from this land and return to the land of your kindred." God appears to him and said, go back to the land. And remember, Jacob said, if you take me back to the land, you will be my God. He has experienced the blessing, but it's now time to go back. And in typical fashion, he obeyed God. Verse 17 says, "So Jacob arose and sent his sons and wives on camels." When God told him to leave, Jacob said, "Yes, sir, I am out of here." That's one thing about faith. It will always obey the word of the Lord. It always committed to what God says. If God has spoken to me, I will obey him. I will do what he says. So immediately he arose to go back. But after he went back, several years later, a famine came to the land. And not only the famine, in the process of time, he lost his son Joseph. He thought the son was dead. And then later on, they came for Benjamin. And in Genesis chapter 42:36. Let's read that. He says, and Jacob's their father said to them, now that's right, you have bereaved me, thank you, of my children. Joseph is no more, and Simeon is no more, and now you will take Benjamin. All this has come against me. He says, all these things are against me. All these things that are happening, my son being lost, my son going away, all these things are against me. They are against me. And then, so think about it. He served God. He has obeyed God. He's endeavored to do what God told him, and he's lost all these problems. All these things have come to him. They seem to be against him. They seem to be against him. Wasn't it God that told him to go back to the land? Wasn't it God that told him to head back? It was God. But there's famine in the land. He's lost his son, Joseph, and then he's lost Benjamin. It seems that God is silent. Where is the God that told me to go back to my father's land? Why have things turned sour? Why have things turned out this way? But in Genesis chapter 45, the Bible scholars tell us that within 3 weeks, everything that he had lost in that time frame came back to him. Joseph, he was able to go and meet Joseph. He got Benjamin back. And then Pharaoh sent a wagon to come and take him from the land of Egypt. I read the commentary on it. The commentary says that in those days, there was nothing like it. There was no form of transportation like that in the land of Canaan. They were using donkeys and other means of transportation. He got the very best, wagon filled with the very best of Egypt. But within all that time frame, Jacob will be thinking, where is God? Oh, but within a short time frame, everything turned around for him. Everything turned around. He got reunited with Joseph, who he thought had died. In Genesis 45, verse 6. And then he blessed Pharaoh, a mighty ruler in Pharaoh's palace. Genesis 47, verse 10. He saw his entire family established in the best part of the land of Egypt. In Genesis 47, verse 6. And Genesis 48, 27. And then also he got to bless all his children before he died. God restored to him everything that he had lost. They gave him a funeral at the end that is fit for a king. In Genesis chapter 50, verse 7, he says, all the elders of Israel left. Verse 9 says that it was a great company. Only Pharaoh didn't go. Everything God restored back to Jacob, because he trusted in his God, because he waited for God's perfect timing. Notice, what was the secret? Notice what he says in Genesis 49, verse 18. Genesis 49, 18. What was his secret? Genesis 49, verse 18. Time will test our commitment to God. He says, I wait for your salvation, oh Lord. I wait for your salvation, oh Lord. I wait for your salvation, oh Lord. That was his secret. He was endeavoring, no matter how difficult it got, he was always trusting the Lord his God. He was always waiting for the salvation of God. And notice what he says in Psalm 146, verse 5. Psalm 146, verse 5. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory be to the name of the Lord. It says, blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, or who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Blessed is the one whose help is the God of Jacob. Oh, I can assure you that if you have the God of Jacob, the same God who totally transformed his life, no matter what he went through, your help is on the way. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, because promotion does not come from the west, neither does it come from the east, neither does it come from the south. But God is the judge. He sets down one and lifts up another. As you serve God faithfully, as you follow God faithfully, I see your day of promotion and your day of help is here. If you believe that, say amen this morning. I'm ready to run around this building. Notice what Job said. In Job chapter 14, thank you, Lord. Verse 14, I like it in the King James. Let me read it from there. Thank you, Lord. Job 14:14. Glory be to the name of the Lord. If a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change comes. All the days, remember the vision is for an appointed time. All the days of my appointed time will I wait. And while I wait till my change comes. If you are not willing to give up on God, you are willing to hold on to God. I see your change coming in the mighty name of Jesus. If that's you, say a big amen. Oh, that relationship that seems that is lost, that promotion that seems that it may have been delayed, your children that may seem lost, that you may never see them again in the house of God, as you press on with God, I can assure you in the mighty name of Jesus, your change is coming. 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 Shout a loud amen this morning. Glory be to the name of the Lord. All the days of my appointed time, I will wait till my change comes. Your change is coming. I said your change is coming. Your change is coming. Because you see, Ecclesiastes 7:8 says that better is the end of a thing than the beginning. He makes, Ecclesiastes 3:11, he makes all things beautiful in his time. In his time, not on our time. If you are going to be people of faith that walk by faith and not by sight, we must learn this quality about God. We must learn this quality about the elders of old. Notice what he says. We'll wrap up with this. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36. Thank you, Lord. He makes all things beautiful in his time. He makes all things beautiful in his time. Thank you, Lord Jesus. For you have need of endurance. And King James says patience. So that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. You may receive what is promised. You have need of steadfastness. You have need of endurance. After what do I do? What I'm waiting for my change to come. Oh, you give him praise and glory for his promises. Thank him for his promises. Notice he says, after you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 18 talks about the fact that in all things, give thanks to God, for this is the will of God. So after you have done the will of God, which is thanking him and praising him, sooner or later, you will receive what is promised. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory be to the name of the Lord. I call them the two power twins. Faith and patience. Faith and patience. Hebrews 6:12. So, Hebrews 6:12. So that you may not be sluggish or slothful, but imitators of those who through faith and patience, let's all say that, who through faith and patience inherit the promises. How do we inherit the promises? Please tell me this morning. Faith and patience. Faith and patience. Faith and steadfastness, faith and endurance. It doesn't mean that you lie down as a weakling and let the enemy walk over you. What it means is that when God has spoken to you his word, no matter what goes on, no matter the time frame that you go through, you still hold on to the word of God and to his confession and say, I refuse to move. God who said it, he is able to do it. Faith and patience, we will inherit the promises of God. This morning, I don't know what you may be faced with, but I know a God who is greater than all. He's greater than all circumstances. Your change is coming. Oh, it keeps coming to me. Your change is coming. You have served God faithfully. You have held on to God. You have believed God. You are committed to serving the God of Jacob. Blessed is the one who has the God of Jacob for his help. Your change is coming. Your change is coming. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
Say amen this morning.
Amen.
Say amen this morning.
Amen.
Say amen this morning.
Amen.
Say amen like you are in church in the house of God. Amen.
Amen.
Say it louder. My change is coming. All the days of my appointed time, I will wait till my change comes. Oh, raise up your hands and give him praise this morning. 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 Your change is coming. Your change is coming. Your faith in God will produce. You will receive the promises of God. You will receive the promises of God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. And this morning, if you are here, or if you are listening to us or watching us online, and you don't have a relationship with Jesus, you see, we go through, it says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. For those of us who are righteous, we know that the Lord will deliver us from them all. You may not know him, but your desire is that you will know the Lord. You will have a relationship with him. Come to know him deeply and intimately, and let him help you on this journey of life. If you allow me, just raise up your hands, and we will pray with you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Or if you are listening to this after the fact or online, just say, Lord Jesus, I've heard your word. Thank you for your son. Thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, that he came to die for me. I believe he was raised from the dead. Today, I confess him as my Lord and as my Savior. In the mighty name of Jesus. And thank you, I'm saved. Thank you, Lord. And now talk to God this morning. Talk to him in any area of your life where you need God to step in. The afflictions of the righteous are many. It may have to do with your health. It may have to do with your children. It may have to do with your work. It may have to do with your relationship. I can tell you and assure you by the word of God. God, talk to him. Talk to God this morning. Lift up your voice. Pray in the spirit and in your understanding. Talk to God. To tear. We don't serve a dead Jesus. We serve a living Savior. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What he did yesterday, he can do in your life. Forever he is alive. serve a dead God. But we don't serve a dead God. We serve a living God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you so much. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And in the name of Jesus, oh, I agree with God this morning, and I declare His word over that affliction. I declare an end to it in the name of Jesus. That test, that trial of your faith, that trial and test of your faith, oh, that affliction, that difficulty, that seems that it will never be. In your life, in the life of your family, in the name of Jesus, I speak a new beginning, a new beginning, a new trust me.
We trust this podcast was a blessing. Subscribe for more messages like these. If you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior today, we would love to hear from you. Email us at info@wordmissionchurchinternational.org. We will love to equip you in daily walk, so sign up for daily devotionals and encouragement at www.wordmissionchurchinternational.org. You may reach us at 719-235-5535 or write us at P.O. Box 15883, Colorado Springs, Colorado 80935.